first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the slightly depressed Mike Coxon and the Football Podcast show number 120.
Why are you depressed, Mike?
Can I just say that it's only Mike Coxon who's depressed?
No, I'm depressed as well.
I'm in a great mood.
We had a stonker of a result last night as well.
Well, we'll go on to why I'm depressed in a minute. Those lovely voices you could hear with Dan Silver, Jerome Mundell and Andy Franks. Quick facts about 120.
Is it
show 120?
Well, you see, I'm also a bit depressed because I found out from our facts, Andy pointed out to me that Liverpool Football Club have been alive for, they're currently 120 years old. They were founded on the 3rd of June 1892, which also happens to be my birthday.
What,
1892? So, 1892, yeah, I'm that old, yeah.
Get out.
That old. So, not only was there some rather bad football last night, which we'll go on to in a minute, but I share a birthday with Liverpool Football Club. Interestingly though, Goodison Park, home of Everton, is also 120 years old. So I'd have a little look at the Merseyside derby down the year, a few facts. Top goal scorer in Merseyside derbies, Ian Rush. Dixie Dean second, not really surprising. Peter Beardsley's the highest scorer to have scored for both teams with 7 goals. Neville Southall's made the most appearances and also the most clean sheets, which he shares with Ray Clements. Highest ever attendance, 78,000 in 1948 at Goodison. Interestingly, up until 1990, there was a higher average attendance for derbies at Goodison than there was at Anfield. But then obviously seating got introduced and Anfield got expanded where Goodison didn't. And overall, Liverpool have won 88, Everton have won 66, and they've been 65 draws. I think that just about wraps us up for today.
Yeah.
So,
Goodison Park was the first major football stadium built in Britain.
There you go.
Yeah.
Knowledge is the bomb.
Only
knowledge
Scotland is the bomb. Had more advanced grounds, apparently.
Yeah.
And,
look what happened there.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, we can't avoid the big incompetent Turkish elephant in the room. last night. Your thoughts before I start crying?
Yeah.
That's nice, Dan. I hope you finish fifth.
Very harsh decision.
Shocking.
From what I saw.
I think it's probably a yellow card. I have to say, I can see almost where the referee's coming from in that Nani's foot was very high. Mm. But he had time to find out where the foot connected, because if you look at the actual laws of the game, the exact quotation is...
Oh, God, bore off, Coxon.
No, it'll be, use excessive force or brutality against an opponent when challenging for the ball when it's in play. A tackle that endangers the safety of an opponent must be sanctioned as serious foul play.
Could have broken his ribs.
But is that really
endangering
him seriously?
Could have taken his eye out.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He could have lost a kidney.
He could have. He could have gone back in time to the dinosaurs.
No,
for me, it was
if the ball was coming towards Nani, if he was looking at it, and that basically, because it was a kung fu kick.
Oh my bloody God.
Look who's just entered the pub. I couldn't believe that's not you. I just thought that was Jerome and you sitting at a table.
Dear, here's
it's
podcast racist Jim Staples.
If the ball had come towards him and he kung fu kicked someone that high, knowing where the ball was, definite straight red. Because he's looking over his shoulder, not seeing that the guy's in front of him, and it was pure accident that he's actually collided with the guy. There's no way you can give that as an intent.
Guess what we're talking about, Jim.
How long have you been doing the show?
3 minutes, 46 seconds.
Not yet.
Don't even think about it.
No, not yet.
I mentioned it.
The best thing about the game last night was Fergie's reaction to it. I actually wanted United to win, so I was a bit disappointed they didn't. But watching Ferguson,
he hasn't moved that fast since they had half price offer on whiskey down at Tesco's.
Speedham was already down, yeah, wasn't he? And whoever the guy was that was blocking out Ferguson's way, he just shit himself. He just got out of the way, cowered into the corner and let Ferguson get
see,
down there.
Matt, that was Albert Morgan, I think, the kit man.
Was it?
Yeah, good. He didn't look like he was going to stand up.
That was my only good thing.
My personal favourite was Jose Mourinho's job interview.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, yeah. See him even snitching up to him during the game as well. I think Mourinho's the only manager that could go up to Fergie during that game after the send-off just happened and have a little word in his ear like that. Fergie was just listening, taking it in.
Even Darren Ferguson would have got a slap, wouldn't he?
I reckon so, yeah.
But yeah, Mourinho was humble. How genuine that is, I don't know. But he did all the right things. He acknowledged the United fans, even when they were taking the mickey out of
him.
Best team loss, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't help. I mean, it's going to hurt. If Real Madrid got into the tournament, I'll be gutted, because it could have been us. That's not to say we would have won.
It was a shame, because it was just that last half an hour was really teeing up to be a great half hour.
I know, everyone said it spoiled the game. I think it made the game. I'm being serious. The game had everything. Last night,
had it been 15 minutes later, I think it would have made the game a bit more exciting. But I think the fact that Real Madrid
had
so
a bit more pressure, even with 10 men, you've got to go for broke.
Yeah, you could see they tried, though. Real Madrid were fantastic on the ball, though.
Why is he bringing on Ashley Young instead of Kagawa? Kagawa got a hat trick of the week. Yeah. Ashley Young's toy. Jamie, you'll testify to that.
Why didn't Rooney play?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought Welbeck was man of the match. He was going to drop.
I wouldn't read too much into Rooney being dropped.
Why would you leave Rooney out of the starting 11?
So you start Rooney and Van Persie, right? Or do you drop Van Persie? Because Welbeck's the best player tonight.
I'd give Rooney a floating role. If you want to play...
The key was Real Madrid. If Real Madrid scored first, United were shafted. Because once Real Madrid get that first goal, then that's really bad.
Leaving out the player with the most class.
But you can say what you like. United's tactics were fantastic for the first 60 minutes. Nani played well, and it's the sort of game that he loves. It's a big game where he can show off.
Real Madrid scored the goal.
They made the goal. It doesn't matter. They played well, though. They created chances. It was an even game. Still creating chances.
Welbeck was United. Welbeck was brilliant. Cleverly in the first half was. I've never seen.
Giggs had a really
good performance. It'll be gutting if Real Madrid win it, because we're thinking what could have been. But these things happen in football.
What an absolute stonker from Modric.
Modric's goal.
Yeah,
great strike.
It's fucking rubbish as well. That's the thing. Yeah. He voted the La Liga's worst signing.
But last night he had much of a chance.
He played well. He played very well when he came on.
I think
I was him, I'd be trying to get back to the Premier League.
The other key thing to come from last night is what a bitter bastard Roy Keane is. Here's a fact for you. Roy Keane refuses to sign any Manchester United memorabilia, even his autobiography, because that was a Man United badge on.
Fair enough.
What is wrong with him?
I don't know, but Paddy Creran's come out today, and Paddy Creran is an equally... level-headed chap. Paddy Creran has said, why are we talking about Roy Keane? Because he played for Manchester United. Well, let me tell you something. I played for Manchester United. I played in the European Cup final. Roy didn't. The referee was wrong. He's brilliant. I love Paddy Creran. But no, I also liked Joey Barton's tweet. Did you see this? Where he said...
Was it Justin Bieber?
Yeah, was this...
No, it wasn't this.
Would you like to see Justin Bieber live? No, I'd rather see him dead.
It wasn't that.
Did we know that Justin Bieber has taken over Aston Villa?
He's not.
Oh, we've seen these rumours, but go on to that.
It's not.
I've heard it's definitely happening.
Yeah, but the tweet that I've seen from Joey Barton was one saying, I don't know why Gareth Southgate constantly looks so scared of Roy Keane. And then a picture of Roy Keane stamping on Gareth Southgate in the 1995 FA Cup semi-final.
Nice.
He's been quite active this week. Joey Barton.
He's only stamping on Andy Townsend consistently. Yeah. He's just an idiot, isn't he?
Oh, was that
who was the other commentator? Was it Tilsley last night?
Tilsley.
And when who had the header? Someone had the header off the post.
Vidic had the header off the post.
Welbeck was in an offside position. The ball hit him and it was saved by the goalkeeper's nuts.
Yeah.
They gave a free kick for the offside. Yeah. The goalkeeper put the ball down and they continued to talk about Welbeck's miss. And then they said it could have been in a shade of offside. He gave offside. You saw the goalkeeper, the substitute dodgy goalkeeper, because it's Townsend, put the ball down for the free kick.
Spanish international who played in the Champions League last season for Villarreal.
He was terrible.
And who was put ahead of Casillas on form this season as well.
Yeah, so but
bring back Ron Atkinson.
We'll move on because we've still got for half an hour of Spurs talking, and we don't want to upset the listeners too much. Dan, quickly tell us about the North London derby, bearing in mind that Tim Bevan has said, I don't know if I can cope with listening to any discussions about the red card, so we'll move on for him.
That's got nothing to do with the game, is it? You've got that completely wrong, haven't you?
No, I'm saying we'll move on for Tim Bevan.
Never used to happen.
Oh, right. Apart from the 2 minutes for the two goals and the final whistle, it was obviously absolutely excruciating to watch, but I mean, I think it came down to the battle of the two centre-backs. And our Dawson Vertonghen were fantastic, and Vermaelen and Mertesacker were poop.
I think they could have signed Vertonghen over Mertesacker as well.
Yeah, they could have actually signed him.
Let's be honest, at the time he would have gone to Arsenal over Spurs.
I've seen a lot of these ifs and buts though, with people saying, oh, look at all the players Arsenal have missed out on, they could have signed Michu, and I know maybe they interested in Vertonghen and not with other people, but it's all ifs and buts at the end of the day, you know.
It was a great win, but I've said to a lot of people I've spoken to, the mentality this year is very different, because straight away after that game, it was great Sunday evening, but even sort of late Sunday evening, come Monday morning, looking to the next game, Liverpool away, because that's how important that is. And it shows that, and it's a weird place to be as a Spurs fan, because you're normally not used to looking up and looking to the next game and looking at third, second place, potentially. It's
Milan before that, though, isn't it?
I can't be. Like, I mean, it'd be great to go through, but I would have no problems. In fact, I'd rather he dropped Bale, Dembele. I'd rather he didn't start him tomorrow.
Dembele and Adebayor, are they injured?
Dembele's fine, apparently. Adebayor is a worry.
Because he's shit. That's why it'd be a worry for me. No, fucking toilet.
No, that's the joy. It's good to see Defoe back on the bench, thank God.
Dan, would you rather finish third and go out with Europa League, or finish fourth and win the Europa League?
You were just saying it's all ifs and buts. This is an even but question.
Exactly, but it's a debate.
Who finishes third if we finish fourth?
Don't know, Chelsea.
Possibly.
It's not going to be Liverpool, and I don't think it's going to be Arsenal.
Well, if it was Arsenal, then no, because I obviously would love to finish above Arsenal. But no, I'd take that.
Liverpool are doing quite well at the moment.
They're playing well. Last week we were talking about how Wigan's season's just started. It looks like it's ended already.
The thing is with Liverpool, they've beaten every team in the bottom half. I think they've beaten them all. Yeah. They're just absolutely choked when they're playing on decent.
Suarez was going a little bit quiet recently. He hadn't been banging too many in, and then to come back with explode with a hat-trick.
It's Coutinho.
Like that.
I don't know. I know he went off the boil at Inter apparently, but
Coutinho looked quality, really good.
If you look at his upbringing, how rated he was, and what he did in Brazil before he came over, and then look at what Inter thought of him when he first signed. If they can get the best out of him, that is just an unbelievable
thing. When he was at Inter, there was quite a few changes of coaches at that time as well, so I don't know if he got a fair chance with any of them to actually show what he's worth.
To be fair, the Italian league, it doesn't really suit a Brazilian playmaker, does it? The Premiership's going to actually let him play the way that he wants to. Kaká did very well. Fair play.
Dear, oh dear. Well, stand out, stand down. I'm going to go to start with this one that our listener Ian Johnson has suggested. Kevin Phillips. Still banging them in at the age of
39. Still
unbelievably
good. Ian, you've just ruined Ian Johnson's joke where he said still banging them in at the age of 60. So I hope Ian will forgive you for that, to be honest.
Whilst we're talking about the Championship, looking at the table now, you start fearing for Cardiff a little bit.
Yep.
But the only reason you're fearing is because it's Cardiff. If it was any other team, they've got games in hand, they've got a superior goal difference, and they haven't even had that much of a blip. I mean, they were 1-0 down last night, they ended up drawing 1-1, I believe. It was Derby, which is one thing.
It's just like club mentality, what they've been through.
And then they're not playing this week until, I think they're playing Sunday. So if Watford, Palace, Hull all pick up points, then they could be really under the cosh. They'll have two games in hand on most of those teams come their game. But they're getting under a little bit of pressure. Speaking of Cardiff,
before you jump in, Andy Fox, congratulations to Nicky Maynard on the birth of his new son, Trent Xavier Maynard.
Oh, please.
As I saw on Facebook, my old friend Nicky Maynard, congratulations. Trent Xavier. TX Maynard. Sounds like a superhero, doesn't it? It's great.
As I was saying.
Anyway, go on.
Wolves actually won for the first time under Dean Saunders' reign.
At Millwall, I bet.
It's all quite tip your hat to that.
It's all still quite tight down the bottom. I
tell you, Bolton a few weeks ago were practically in the relegation.
Bolton could be that team. A couple of weeks ago, last time
Cravat Nick was here, he was getting ready for League One.
Yeah, they won 1-0, another last minute. Blackburn Rovers love a last minute challenge.
Four and a bounce now, isn't it, or something?
Something like that. Yeah. And who scored the goal? It's Evans. Eagles. Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, yeah.
And interestingly, Bolton have got Brighton at home on Saturday.
Big game.
And Brighton are occupying the last playoff spot at the moment. They drew 0-0 last night, did they?
1-0, I think it was. No, 0-0.
At Bristol City.
Yeah.
Bristol City are bottom, and their form's been picking up as well.
Yeah.
So I can see Bristol City getting some points. But, yeah, so that's a massive, massive game for Bolton. Because I think
and they, Brighton.
Yeah,
really?
Well, both, yeah, and
well, it's now a promotion 6 points for all, man.
Forest, what did they do last night? I mean, they dropped points, didn't they?
They won 1-0.
They won 1-0.
Oh, did they? So, yeah, they're right up there
they
as well.
They beat Ipswich.
It was still shite.
Forest are a team I'd love to see back in the top flight. They're a big club. I'd like. They've got a great history. They've been out far too long.
You look down that championship, I think there's only about three or four teams in the championship that haven't ever played in the Premier League.
And one of which is top of the table, Cardiff. Yeah. I think you've got
Peterborough, Preston.
Preston on in there. Preston in League One.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Millwall, Bristol, Cardiff, Bristol City, Peterborough, Brighton.
I think that's it now. Every other club.
Huddersfield, in fact, yeah.
And most of those have all played in the. Well, probably all of them have played in the top division.
Oh, yeah.
Just looking at the
with the exception, maybe Peterborough.
Maybe. But I mean, the point is, all of those teams, even if you haven't got a great squad or whatever, they'd still be looking at it thinking, oh, we could see the playoffs in August, I'm talking about. So there's some massive teams down the bottom.
And you look at someone like, sorry to go back to him, but someone like Brighton with a new stadium, with a new, they could push on if they made it.
I have to say, Brighton Town Centre would be an absolute nightmare on match days if they go up. It's bad enough as it is.
Oh, what, in general, yeah.
Round the stadium, avoid it. Unless your team's playing there, then go get pissed and shout at shoppers.
Middlesbrough aren't doing too bad either. That's another club that's been in the Premier League.
But they're on a bad run of form.
They were 1-0 up last night and lost 2-1. I think they were 1-0 up after 86, 87 minutes, lost 2-1 at Huddersfield.
Yeah. Actually, they have got Kieran Dyer playing for them now, though.
Yes.
Kieran Dyer, can I just say...
He scored against Millwall.
I'd actually like... They won against Cardiff at the weekend, didn't they? And can we all just say, Kieran Dyer admitted that, first of all, it was his first league goal in 6 years. He also said that it's the first time in 6 years he's played three consecutive games. That's the man who's got 34 England caps.
He could have been a great player, Kieran Dyer. I think it's Nobby Solano still says he's the best player he's shared a pitch with, and that includes Lionel Messi. I think Nobby Solano's been on the trumpets a bit too long.
I was going to say, it's nice of Solano to trumpet his career.
Oh dear.
What else have we got, Jay? You're the man with the stats.
Yeah. Villa losing to another big club but doing not too badly.
Yeah, we don't. I missed that one out.
I watched it. The problem is that Villa looked clueless, but Man City didn't have a lot of ideas.
Yeah, the headline was unconvincing Man City win at Villa.
And unfortunately, 1-0 down with half hour to go, brought on a couple of substitutes, no idea who they were. And they've got no one to go to. They've got no experience. It's all youngsters. There was a youngster on loan from Spurs who tried a little bit, didn't really do a lot. And it was just there was just nothing really there from Villa.
As I said at the beginning, survival was the key for us.
Justin Bieber's the key for you, mate. When he takes over,
if Justin Bieber comes in, that'd be brilliant.
Was it $20 each from his 32 million Twitter followers, and you've got 400 billion to spend in the summer?
For those who don't understand, there's quite a good blog by Andrew, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Sisolak, on the 7500 to Holt blog. It's an Aston Villa blog. I think it might be a bit tongue-in-cheek about Justin Bieber buying Aston Villa. To be honest, if he's refunded all those fans from the O2 other night, I doubt he will be. But
hello, popular culture reference there from Michael Thompson. I
was in tears that I had to leave to get the last tube out. It was a nightmare. Baby, oh.
We've got a massive game at the weekend.
Reading,
6 points.
Reading,
they've been on a downward.
You've got to
slide.
Love this time of year, don't you?
I love Villa.
Villa
now got a 6-pointer with Reading.
That'll be us next year.
A few years ago, you finished sixth, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's gone downhill.
It's a great time of year, though, isn't it? We've got the FA Cup quarterfinals, Champions League. Second round, you've got the relegation battle going on. You've still got the battle for the Champions League.
Really interesting.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Interesting/terrifying.
Yeah, it depends on where you are.
Yeah.
Can I put my standout performance? It's from last night. A friend of the show, Lee Minchell. I think you're probably the only one who still knows who he is. But he's a power mind. He scored twice last night for Newport County. They were 1-0 down or 2-1 down, And he scored twice and ended up winning 3-2, so it's really tight at the top of the conference again.
Yeah.
But he's not known as a goal scorer, but he's got a few goals this season. He's doing all right.
He used to blog for us, didn't he?
Yeah, he sent us a couple of bits when he was still at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And he got released from there. And obviously, if you get released from a League Two club, it's quite hard to find yourself a decent gig. He's pitched up at Newport and they're having a fantastic
again,
season.
Look,
they're third, but they've still got two games in hand on the teams above them, I think. And if they keep cracking on and getting the wins.
Well, Newport haven't been in the Football League for must be a good long time as well.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a really good history down there. But yeah, they were losing at Hereford, got a 3-2 win. So Wrexham and Kidderminster. If Kidderminster lost last night, Wrexham funked someone at home for, I think they played Ebbsfleet or Dartford. It's one of the Kent clubs because I heard it on the radio. But yeah, it's looking pretty tight out there as well, which would be quite good to look at.
I got stand down or stand out, depending on what your angle is, but the cheeky bastard Arsenal fans chucking a banana at Gareth Bale.
Oh dear. I saw a wonderfully pithy comment on Football 365 from someone saying, so the banana man's going to get banned from watching Arsenal from now on, lucky bastard.
But it's not racist, it's not... No, it's just taking the piss, really, isn't it? It's nothing like... It's
just
like,
wait until the apes rise up, because I've seen that film and it's fucking scary. And that lad's going to be in trouble.
He is.
Gareth Bale's not going to have it.
I got stand down as well, to be fair. But bless him, but I think he's got to call it a day, hasn't he, old Jack Rodwell?
Ready, you reckon?
He's got to call it a day.
No.
He's got no hamstrings left.
He's a bit Kieran Dyer, isn't he?
No,
really?
He's worse.
I don't think he's ever been as good as he was hyped to be.
Has he actually completed a game recently? His hamstrings are shot.
On his iPhone.
His hamstrings are shot to bits. I mean, he's got to pack it in, surely.
He's not going to pack it in. He's what? 23?
But he has not been able to get fit in.
That's what they said about Hargreaves. He's had a fucking brilliant season.
Yeah.
Where is Hargreaves?
Tetris. Top score, yeah.
Did he get
it? Nowhere, no. He says he still wants to play in the top flight, so he's got nowhere.
Actually, Lee Bowie is looking for a club as well.
They could form one together, couldn't they? All the Crocs.
Where did Nigel Rio-Coker end up as well?
There was talk of him going to a top flight club, but I can't remember who.
He was like Bolton's captain. He got released. Yeah. And he was doing. I'm sure he was doing YouTube videos and stuff as well.
Oh, God, look at me.
He went
That's
somewhere.
That's what
I'm
most
sure
people who put a YouTube video.
Someone tweeted
doing,
it. Tell us where Nigel Rio-Coker is.
Well,
I want to know.
Right, question for you all.
Also, I've got to go in a minute. We know Bayo Akinfenwa, the giant of League Two.
The unit.
He went to Northampton School. This week, and one little 8-year-old kid asked him why he's so hench. He actually used the word hench. I believe it was hench. Northampton Town retweeted this as well. They sent a tweet out, and he replied, "Nando's."
Next question. Lad, that standout performance of the week. We'll take that all day. Question from one of our listeners, Reese Neal.
Have we got any more iTunes reviews? Have you been checking the iTunes reviews?
I've been checking, I haven't seen any. If there are any, I apologise.
I've been checking, but I haven't seen any. If you've checked and there's none there, then there's none there. I suspect you might not have checked.
I checked last night, funny enough, and the last one was the one about Better Than the Football Ramble. Did we have that
there
one?
We go. We did.
Yeah.
Indeed.
You've got him out of that.
Thank you, Dan.
Pass the shovel.
It's easy to say, I checked.
Yeah, go on, what's
and there
the
was none there. Reece Neal, how much money do you plan to put on QPR beating the drop? Personally, I plan to put no money on it.
Me? No, not my own money.
How much would you put on that?
I'm still going back to the fact that I called this the beginning of the season and I got poo-pooed by everyone on the show.
What?
That QPR will go down.
No, he's saying they're going to survive, though.
He's saying how much money would you put on them?
Out of all the pundits, Robbie Savage got absolute pelters when he in our own Daily Mirror he said that Villa could be in trouble and could go down.
Yeah, he's supposed to play for Birmingham. He's a little cop,
really. Well, he's spot on. Even if you don't go down, I wouldn't have even thought Villa, particularly under Lambert, and what I thought he'd be able to create. I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant appointment, and
I was really excited. So when
Robbie Savage said Villa could be in trouble, could go down, your reaction was, "Oh, he's Birmingham, he's better, blah blah blah."
Yeah, but when did he say that? When did he say that?
Before the season started.
Before the season.
Yeah, looking like a great shout for a pundit.
Fair enough.
But anyway, yeah, no, I if I was one of the teams down there, I would not be happy. I wouldn't be looking at QPR thinking, "Well, they're definitely down."
No.
One win, and it didn't really come from nowhere. It was. And away win, was it their third, fourth of the
season? I thought they did really well, actually. They were one of my suggestions for standout performance. Was, you know, they're desperate for 3 points and getting it at the weekend.
Anyone know who they've got the weekend?
They've got Somebody down the bottom.
Sunderland. QPR playing at home, so it's, you know, essentially that's another 6 points. Sunderland could still be brought into the relegation
battle. Yeah. QPR need to win on Saturday, Sunday, whatever they're playing this week. Because if they get two back-to-back wins, and the thing is, right, you look at it, if you're a team going for the playoffs or going for the top three, if you drop points, nine times out of ten, all the clubs around you, particularly if you're on automatic slots, will also gain points. When you're down there, you only need two or three wins, and you don't even need back-to-back wins. If you get two wins out of three or two wins out of four, you will shoot out the table because everyone else down there is either dropping points or they're being brought into it because they're dropping points.
Speaking of QPR, it was a picture that you tweeted out, also saw on Football Finals, off the post, I think it was State. Anyone see the greatest impression of Harry Redknapp by a dog?
Oh, fantastic.
If you haven't seen it, have a little Google. We tweeted it. It is absolutely outstanding.
It is, yeah.
Going back to Nigel Ruakoka.
Go on.
He's at Vancouver Whitecaps.
Vancouver Whitecaps. Former club of Peter Beardsley.
Really?
Second mention of Peter Beardsley in the show so far. I mean,
try and get a third one in there.
I missed the first.
It was during the 120. Don't worry, we'll get another one in there.
Oh, I'll listen back.
Yeah.
I won't.
Well, Peter Beardsley actually
kind of
fits nicely in with one of my naughty boys of the week, which of course goes back to Joey Barton, who we've already
mentioned. Peter Beardsley fit, mentioned in the first sentence ever.
There we go. Peter Beardsley was famously, shall we say, beautiful on the inside. A lot of people say Zlatan Ibrahimovic is a relatively good-looking bloke. Mainly Zlatan Ibrahimovic would say this.
Probably, yeah.
Sorry, listeners, this is slightly worrying where this is going.
I wish people listening could have seen the look that we all just gave each other when Mike declared his love for Ibrahimovic.
It was a silent look.
He's got that charm about him, hasn't he? I'm sure the fiancé wouldn't mind.
Joey Barton wouldn't agree.
Joey Barton doesn't agree, and that's why he's a naughty boy. Who saw him gesturing about the size of Zlatan Ibrahimovic's nose?
Was it you, big nose?
It was a hand gesture.
I think it was the T rather than the C word, and he was just giving it the big nose.
Yeah, I saw it.
It was brilliant.
International sign for big nose. Is that an international sign? I guess that might be.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's really big what he was doing, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's like
raccoons big.
Yeah,
he's going overboard.
Schnauzer.
I've got a team of naughty boys of the week, but actually, are they that naughty?
Is it NK Dons for winning last night?
Bastards.
Leave it. Not even a club. Leave it.
I'll take that win because it helped Brentford out because we lost 1-0 as well last night.
Anyway, look,
a naughty team of the week, QPR. They went away, did their training camp in Dubai or Qatar.
It's all rumours.
But
who reported that?
But at the end of the day, they definitely did it. Otherwise, people wouldn't be talking about it. But does it go back to the court of law? Hang on.
People are talking about it. Definitely.
Footballers are bad. We all know that. But actually,
Andy Frank's king of sweeping statements today.
Do you remember that classic rumour years ago that Will Young was going out with the Premier League football, and there were about 80 different footballers named as, oh, he's definitely going out with him, he's the gay one.
Matthew Taylor, wasn't it? The Portsmouth left back.
Allegedly. And it was also allegedly John O'Shea, it was allegedly James McFadden.
No, I'm fairly sure it was Matt Taylor.
No, it was allegedly.
People were talking about it, so it was definitely
more people were talking about Matt Taylor, so it must have been him.
Well, I'm thinking William maybe just went out with a load of Premier League footballers. Anyway, I wouldn't be happy.
What do they do?
Back onto this one. Should you let footballers just be footballers? They're not role models. They don't ask to be role models.
They're not role models. Look, they love strippers, fast cars, and going out.
What's going on with these
stupid
statements?
I'll tell you.
All the gay footballers, all the straight footballers, they're all the same.
No gay
football. The football podcast would like to apologise. The views of its panellists are not necessarily the views held by the football podcast.
I'm being ironic, of course.
I know.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if one actually did? Look,
an American lad who was playing for Leeds.
And there's a guy in the Swedish.
Yeah, Glenn Heisen's son. Probably.
Chaps, if it is true and they did go out and have a big old beer up, at the end of the day they came home and it won. Yeah, they won. So should we just let the England team in 2014 go out into Rio and have a massive beer up?
Rio's probably not going to the tournament. The best performance in a World Cup. And I will tell you why.
They're all on the lagers. I will tell you why you should not let them go out boozing, because this can happen. I've just made a really good link to another naughty boy.
Ben Foster has come back because he says it's more fun. He's spoken to the England players and he actually enjoys it now.
Yeah.
Come on, this be the best. Must be the best link ever.
Go on.
Well, it's not the best link ever. It just worked. It just worked really well. Speaking of footballers drinking, going out and lash, you shouldn't do it. Yeah. What you shouldn't do is definitely not drive afterwards as well.
Oh, Nicholas Bentner.
Nicholas Bentner, very naughty boy. The week.
Apparently, who? Juventus are going to send him back.
Well, this is a rumour is that they're going to send him back.
Poor Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly. He has been. He has been.
Only gets Bentner.
If you're an Arsenal fan, would you honestly not chuck Bentner in? Give him a go.
No, never.
They need goals. He's got a great goal scoring record at Arsenal. He's if you look at the games he's played,
he's been banned from playing for Denmark for 6 months. Yeah. The Denmark FA.
I don't think Arsenal care about that.
We picked the speeding fine up in Denmark. He picks it up in his home country.
90 grand or something, I think, a fine. And yeah. So, anyway, how about this? He was going. He must have been that pissed. He was driving against the traffic. He was driving the wrong way down the road.
He's always been a pioneer.
Three times over the limit. Absolute nightmare.
Footballers, they're all bad.
They should not be allowed to drink. They are role models.
Bit of banter as well. Did anyone see during the... I've got to give this to off the post as well, but did anyone see during the Wigan-Liverpool game that was on ESPN? They say... in the bottom left-hand corner, they say, tweet any of your thoughts to at ESPN UK. There was a slight spelling mistake during the game against Wigan and Liverpool, and it said, tweet to at Eastbunk.
Nice.
Which was brilliant. It was the U and the N were the wrong way around. So instead of saying at ESPN UK, it was tweet at Eastbunk.
Speaking of accidental captures, did you see the caption under Shinji Kagawa, which read Jisung Park?
No. When?
Yeah, I think it was Match of the Day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Match of the Day. Yeah.
No.
BBC.
I bet that was handsome.
I bet it was Roy Keane. I bet he snuck in there.
That's a Bobby Robson, isn't it?
That was really... What, Shell Rabiopi and Carl Cole? That's still one of the best quotes ever.
Outstanding.
A few more things from our listeners. Mike Wilcox would like to know if decisions like last night's, obviously with Nani, should mean that referees have to explain themselves. And he's put at BBC 606. So come out after the game, maybe do an interview. Thoughts, quickly?
Definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's the same ref who...
changed the game.
Sent off John Terry and Balotelli.
John Terry deserved that red card.
Yeah. Another question I've got.
So did Nelly.
He's from obviously.
Oh. Roy Keane just walked in.
He obviously
really dangerous play.
What do you think, Stuart Hall?
Thanks, Stu.
He obviously referees in the Turkish league.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a high enough level for him to be refereeing in the Champions League? Last 16 in a big game like that.
Bottom line, no.
If you've ever been to a Galatasaray Fenerbahce game, which I haven't, but I can only imagine.
That's twice a year.
It's still a massive game.
Yeah, it's twice a year.
It doesn't mean you don't understand the game that well.
But to handle players and stuff like that.
Yeah, but is it really that high pressure to referee?
What are you saying? Only refs from what? England, France?
Turkey's a top league. I mean, if you're refereeing QPR versus Norwich, is that a high pressure game? Not really.
Yeah, but you're refereeing in an English Premier League. Yeah.
Alright, so what refs would you have? English, German, Italian, Spanish?
French.
That's it, yeah?
Can't have Italian.
Dutch.
No, not Dutch. Talking nonsense.
It's rubbish.
Absolute nonsense.
Just answer the question.
No, I disagree with you. Wholeheartedly.
Alright, fine.
But there we go.
Fuck you,
and on the Champions League, Tim Tantrum, which I'm assuming is his real name, wants to know who he thinks is going to win it. He thinks it's going to be a German team.
I like it what he actually said, wouldn't it? I read this. Let's get some predictions on who's actually going to win the Champions League. I can't call it, but it could be a German team. Yeah. What would you mean? I can't call it. Of course it could be a fucking German team.
It could be anyone.
It
could be Celtic.
Celtic Arsenal final.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
I reckon Bayern Munich.
I'm inclined to say Bayern Munich, but
I'd like a Munich Real Madrid final would be quite good.
Juventus look like a very strong team this year as well. So.
It all depends on the draw though as well.
It all depends who wins as well.
Yeah, I mean I can't call it, but I think it'll be a team from Europe.
It depends which Borussia Dortmund turn up.
Exactly.
I really hope that Tim Tantrum is at home now. Pounding his fists and crying. No.
Or even better, on his Sky Bet account, adding them all into a massive sweepstake. Yeah.
You get good odds.
Anyone ever seen Russell Howard's Good News? Right, yeah. There is a link to this, right? You know how he always finishes the show on an inspirational story?
Yeah.
Right, I actually really like that. Sometimes, I get a little bit emotional about it.
Are we finishing the show?
No, but...
We'll see how this story goes.
Yeah. I'm going to have it. It was, again, this was a, it was Football Funnies tweeted it. It was a little 30 second clip of this event, and it really is an inspirational story. And it was from an American high school football team, soccer team, football, real football. Main football team, and there's a lad playing for him who's got one leg, right? And he plays on crutches, and he's playing for in a normal high school game. Ball's come in from a corner, right? It's gone to the back post, and this lad has got up on his crutches and swung his leg and volleyed it into the top left hand corner on one leg, like using his crutches, and didn't even celebrate. Didn't even just turns around and sort of, and. Heads back to the halfway line to re-step for kickoff. Absolutely, like watching it. Like, I'll get it up on the site. It is. It's just, you see it and you just think, just magnificent. To be honest, absolutely. That's my hero of the week.
Fantastic, inspirational. And speaking of inspirational, who's heard the story of Real Oviedo?
No.
They're a fantastic Spanish club. If there was an all-time La Liga table, they would be 17th in it. So they're maybe the equivalent of, say, I don't know, Sheffield Wednesday or something in terms of history. They've been through some bad times in recent years, but they brought through great players like Michu, Juan Mata, Santi Cazorla all started at Oviedo. They also have people like Robert Prosinecki, Victor Anopko, also Stanley Victor Collymore played there briefly. They've been through a lot of financial troubles to the point that in the last 12 years they've dropped from La Liga into the third division.
Is this ended on a high? Because I've just.
It is going to end on a high. It's inspirational. We're going to pin it up.
Have they got a sugar daddy chairman now?
Well, they've got the sugar daddy chairman, but we'll go on to that. They've had trouble with the local council. They were going to have their stadium taken away. The fans mobilised. They raised money. They raised awareness. They now own 40% of the club, which is made up of fans from all around the world.
Made up.
No, the ownership, their consortium is made up of fans all around the world, including Dan Willett, who tweets us quite a lot about Hastings United. Real Madrid own a stake in them. Santi Cazorla and all the former players own stakes in them. Lots of unnamed Spanish World Cup winners. They've really galvanised. A local radio show jokingly called one of the advisors of Carlos Slim, Mexican richest man in the world, and said, oh, why don't you buy a €2 million stake in a club? Carlos Slim bought a €2 million stake in the club, saving them from going under. He's not the majority shareholder, but I'm the richest man in the world behind you. It's not bad, is it? In April, they're going to have a fans' day, where fans from all around the world who've invested are going to go watch the game.
This is what we want to raise awareness.
We will tweet where you can follow Real Oviedo. If you want to get involved in the club, I'm sure they're still looking for people to buy shares. But fantastic club, really great story. Yeah, well, buy some shares and they'll buy some players. So really brilliant for them. I urge you to tweet. But they're not the best team to potentially reach the top level, because potentially the top level is going to be reached by the Football Podcast Pub Quiz team in a couple of weeks. It's a tongue twister. Match Pint, which is an excellent website, it basically allows you to find a pub that is showing sports, not just football, but rugby, cricket.
Genius.
Anyone.
Genius.
Brilliant website. They're holding a pub quiz 14th of March in the Alexandra Pub, Clapham. We're going to try and get a team together for it. But if you live in the area, get yourselves down there.
There's I don't know if it's a sports quiz as well.
I'm good at sports. American sports. Yeah, definitely. Right, that's my specialty.
Oh, yeah. If there's a wrestling round, we'll be laughing. Yeah. Rest in peace, Paul Barrow.
Oh, yeah.
But,
cricket. We might be in a bit of trouble.
It'll be a great night. There are some really good prizes as well. Look on the website. Really good prizes.
3 to enter as well, isn't it?
3 to enter, yeah. A-League, Dan.
Yeah, A-League. I don't really want to talk about it.
Well,
that
before
much,
you though. Start, Jacob Bull, one of our listeners who we mentioned. Jacob Bull's very happy, yeah. Western Sydney Wanderers won 1-0 against Central Coast at Central Coast. He missed the goal, though, because in the 18th minute, for some reason, Western Sydney Wanderers fans do the Poznan, and they scored in the 81st minute, so they were all looking the wrong way. So, it's a shame.
That would piss you right off.
Unlucky.
What are the chances? Learn to celebrate better.
But go on, Dan, what happened?
Nah, unfortunately, again, what was I talking about last week? It's Hearts.
Tottenham.
Freaking, no, that as well. Did I meant goal?
It's the away form, isn't it?
It's the away form. They lost. They lost at 1-0 away to the bottom club, Wellington Phoenix.
The bottom club.
And it's just. It's now. They're now slipped out of the. Well, they're still there, but they've got to do something. I mean, the They're now slightly out of the places by one or two points, I think it is. But still very much in it. I mean, it's, again, it's one or two points. There's four games left, I believe. Four or five. Four, I think it is. And two are home, two are away. They've got to get it. They've got to get the results. And the good news is Tadic, the top goal scorer, has been given the green light to rejoin the senior squad after his broken toe injury. So top scorer comes back in.
Thankful
massive boost,
that.
But yeah, exactly. But it's depressing. But what are you going to do? On to next week. Come on, the heart.
Bigger
come
and better things. Well, Jerome has got a wry smile on his face.
Just got a text from Jim. He's actually left about 5 minutes.
Yeah, you might have noticed he wasn't yeah, talking over us.
Just got a text from Jim. A Man United fan last night called the police about the red card. It's on ITV News. Not even a joke. So apparently a Man United fan has complained to the police about the red card.
Yeah, well, to be fair, they took me call and spoke to me very nicely. Now, that's a joke, unfortunately, and on that note, I think I can't actually talk about football anymore. I might not even follow it anymore, because that's just depressing.
We've only mentioned Gareth Bale, I think, only once.
Twice now. Email us, banter@footballpubcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. Complaints this week, I think we can send them to @SimonHead. We haven't for a while. Visit footballpubcast.co.uk and follow us on Twitter, @footballpubcast. Enjoy your week,
lads. Loving all the questions and interaction that everyone's having. And don't forget, we do love a little cheeky iTunes review. So if
we'll
you fancy it,
we'll read out your iTunes review. We'll read out anything you want to suggest as much as we can. So
the more of a piss take, the better. To be honest,
yeah. Especially if they insult one of us.